I had just gotten my license. I had an instrument rating. And I get on a Boeing 707 commercial flight, one of the very first jets for a commercial. Big, tall captain in the door. And I got up the ramp, and I said, I just got my single engine license. And the captain looked down at me and said, if I lose three engines, I'll call you. Best put down. We both laughed all the way back to the seat. That's great. We have very fine Christian names, Philip and Helen. When we were in Latin America, we were Felipe and Elena. ¿Dónde está la señorita? Aquí nomás. And if you say skip and buzzy in Spanish, it's esquip and boozy. And somehow or other doesn't have the dignity to do what needs to be done. So what we're going to do tonight is talk about three fundamental attitudes that are life and death for finishing well. And by the way, I have Parkinson's. I've had it for 11 years. A lady came up after a meeting and said, may I shake your hand? I said, madam, all you have to do is hold it, it'll shake all by itself. So don't worry about the distraction. Where was I? Oh, what we're going to do. I'll share some thoughts from the Word on three basic attitudes that are life and death. And then if there's time, if we have permission from Carolyn, we'll talk about marriage. Most of you are married. Some of you are still praying about it. That's fine. The crown jewel of the first creation in Genesis 1 and 2. After God created the universe, the galaxies, the stars, plant life, animal life, everything, the last thing he created was a bride. And then you fast forward through the Bible, Revelation 21 and 22. The last thing in the new heaven and the new earth is a bride. So the Bible begins with a bride, ends with a bride. So brides are important. And we'll talk about marriage. So we'll talk about three life and death attitudes that we all need to finish well. And then if there's time, we'll talk about marriage. And the way we do it is that I'll share a thought or two, and then we go to Buzzy. And then Buzzy shares something that she has on her heart. An observation, a correction, whatever. And then we'll open it up. And then you share. If there are 10 people in a Bible study group, each person has 9 instructors. So we learn from one another. So we learn as much from these get-togethers as we ever share. So, fair enough? Okay. Have you ever been hurt by someone you loved? Yes. So has God. God had blessed Israel for 1,500 years, chastened them when necessary. And in Malachi 3, the very end of the Old Testament, the prophet condemns Israel because they said, blessed are the proud. And God was so hurt, wounded, angry, upset, I'm not sure what, that he didn't say anything for 400 years. When you're hurt, what do? You're struck dumb. You don't know what to say. Someone you love hurts you, and you just go, don't know what to say. What then did we get started? 10 to 7. A little boy asked his mother in church, what does it mean when the preacher puts his watch on the pulpit? She said, absolutely nothing. So, if I can get it off. Basic rule in training a dog is you got to be smarter than a dog. I told somebody today, a dog considers you family. A cat considers you staff. Is that okay? Three big ideas. Jesus came into the world and his very first sermon in Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount, he touches on three things: humility, integrity, and sensitivity. These are three desperate needs in my life. I've been a Christian quite a while, longer than some of you, since the summer of 1946, to be exact. Humility is the evidence of a person's value of God. Integrity is the evidence of a person's value of himself or herself. And sensitivity is the evidence of a person's value of other people. That's where we're going to go tonight. Three desperate needs in my life, maybe in yours. So let's go to Matthew chapter 5, if you brought your testament with you. The very first sermon that Jesus preached. Seeing the multitudes, he went up into the mountain, sat down with his disciples, and he opened his mouth and said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." Israel had said, "Blessed are the proud." And Jesus came and said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Verse 5, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." John said, "He must increase, I must decrease." In Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 14, Satan, the archangel Lucifer, makes six statements. "I will, I will, I will, I will." Six times. And he concludes with the statement, "I will be like the Most High. I'll be like God on my terms." And the Bible says, God cast him down. And in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, Jesus steps down, down, becomes a man, willing to die, even the death of a cross. And the Bible says, God highly exalted him. And one of the basic rules in life is God is totally committed to doing exactly the opposite of what I do. If I humble myself, in due time, God will honor me, exalt me, bless me. If I say, "I will, I will, I will," he's going to say, "Not so fast." The Apostle Paul, early in his ministry, said to the Corinthians, "I'm the least of the apostles." And years later, he wrote to the church in Ephesus, and he said, "I'm the least of all saints." And the end of his life, he wrote to Timothy and said, "I'm the chief of sinners." Paul kept growing, kept maturing, kept becoming more like Christ. But his own feeling about himself was down, down, down. I don't know of a verse in the Bible that says, "Pray for humility." There are verses that say, "Humble yourself. Humble yourself. Humble yourself." Humility is the evidence of a person's value of God. If I grow in humility, the thing that Buzzy will see in my life, if I grow in my appreciation of God, the thing she'll see in my life is humility. A humble spirit. And it's life and death. Proverbs says, "Only by pride cometh contention." We see people arguing, fighting, gritting their teeth, gonna have my way or the highway. It never works, especially in marriage. Especially in marriage. So let me pause. I want to move along, but you probably have some good things.
I don't have that much to say. A friend of mine shared with me recently verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, that in the Message it says, blessed or happy are those who come to the end of themselves, which is the contrast from blessed are the proud. I found that interesting. Because we think to ourselves, what does poor in spirit mean?
One of our nav guys recently was on a commercial flight, and he sat next to a man in a business suit, and he said, what do you do? He said, I'm a headhunter for a Fortune 100 company. He said, how's it going? He said, terrible. He said, what's wrong? He said, all the young graduates coming out of business school with their MBA are only concerned about themselves, how much money they're going to earn, how much vacation they get. And the nav guy said to this man, who was not necessarily a Christian, he was just a headhunter, not just a headhunter, he had a good job. He said, what are you doing? He said, I tell the people in our company who are in the business of hiring people, he said, I cannot put this in writing, but I tell them word of mouth, if you're going to hire somebody, ask them if they've had any contact in the university with the Navigators, InterVarsity, or Campus Crusade. They're the ones you want to hire. He didn't even know anything about the Navigators, InterVarsity, or Campus Crusade. He just knew they had integrity. And that's the second truth. Integrity is the evidence of a person's value of himself or herself. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are the pure in heart. It's said of Judas that he sold Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver. But at another level of abstraction, he didn't sell Jesus, he sold himself for 30 pieces of silver. Integrity. Reputation is what you have during the day. Character is what you have at night. Integrity is the evidence of a person's value of himself or herself. They tell the story about the guy who sent a check to the Internal Revenue Service. And he wrote a note and he said, if I still can't sleep, I'll send you the rest of it. You can tell where he went to school down here in Texas. Integrity is the evidence of a person's value of himself. We are not for sale. We have been bought with a price, the blood of Jesus Christ. We belong to him. We're not on the market. Integrity, the evidence of what I think of myself and yourself. All clear? Okay, let's. I didn't open it up after humility. Let's talk about humility or integrity. Question, comment, observation, objection. Sensitivity is the evidence of a person's value of other people.
So, another question? C.S. Lewis says that pride is the root of all evil. And would you, can you maybe take that and run with it, with what you're talking about, humility and pride being opposing?
Well, he's right. We were working with Navy people in Norfolk back in the mid-1960s, and I spent New Year's Day 1967 watching too much football, and I finally quit, and I spent time alone with God, and the verse the Lord impressed upon my heart for a New Year's resolution was Luke 9:23. Jesus said, if you want to follow me, say no to self. I thought, self, not notice stuff, notice self. Take up the cross and follow me. The other word that hit me was daily. I thought, daily? Good heavens, that's almost every day. Who is my biggest problem? Me. It's not the politicians. It's not the people in the other political party. Not even people in the Navy. Or whatever. I'm my own biggest problem. Say no to self. You have a 2-year-old. And what is he or she doing? No. No.
Mine.
No. Mine. My way. They don't even have to be trained. They don't go to 2-year-old school and learn how to say mine. And that's the problem. We have conflict because I'm my biggest problem. Jesus said, say no to self. Take up the cross. The cross is an instrument of death. Humility, the evidence of how much I honor God. Integrity, how much I honor myself. It's important to love yourself. Jesus said, love your neighbor as you love yourself. If you love yourself in the right way, you'll love your neighbor. And then sensitivity. Blessed are they who mourn. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the peacemakers. Jesus had 3 big ideas. Honor God, honor yourself, and honor others. Humility, integrity, sensitivity. That was the foundation of his whole life. And then we fast forward.
It spells his.
I had someone ask me, why did you say sensitivity? I said, so it would spell his. And he said, oh. Fast forward to the cross. Jesus makes 7 statements on the cross. 3 of them directed to God, which were evidences of humility. 2 of them directed to statements of fact, which were evidences of integrity. And 2 of them directed to other people. Sensitivity. To God, he says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Humility. Father, forgive them. Bitterness is a poison you swallow and hope the other guy dies. Forgiveness is spiritual dialysis. It cleanses the poison out of your life. And then he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? The only time Jesus spoke to God and called him God, not Father. You can't say, Father, why have you forsaken me? All you can say is, my God. And there'll be times when that's all you can say. Most of the time when you pray, you say, Father. Jesus said, when you pray, say, Father. Abba. But you get that phone call at 2 in the morning that you never wanted to get. And you hang up and you say, my God. That's okay. You can camp there. Don't build a house there. He moved through and said, Father, into your hands I surrender my spirit. Humility. Let go. And you go through the Christian life. Father, my God, and back to Father. And then a month later, or a year later, or 20 years later, it's Father, my God, and back to Father. Humility. It's a process. It's daily. Then he makes two statements of fact. I thirst. The one who gave us a fountain of living water had a cosmic thirst because of our sin. And then he cries out, it is finished. I like Spanish. It is consummated. Consumado es. It's consummated. Fought the fight, the battle won. It is finished. Redemption. The night before in John 17, he prayed, I finished the work you gave me to do. And 40 times in John 17, he refers to the disciples, the men and women he trained. He had two great works. Redemption, completed in John 19. Training the disciples, completed in John 17. Would have been a cosmic tragedy for Jesus Christ to live a sinless life, die on the cross, conquer death, return to the glory of God, not having left behind a group of men and women who'd tell us about it. He had two great works, redemption and the disciples. And then he makes two statements directed to other people. To the thief, today with me in paradise. And to his mother and John, behold your son, behold your mother. Caring for her, even as he's dying. His very first sermon dealt with three issues. Humility, integrity, and sensitivity. And dying on the cross, there was humility, integrity, and sensitivity. And then one day, the light went on. I'm a slow learner, but the light went on. An aha moment. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly. What is it, Micah? 6:8. To do justly, integrity. And to love mercy, sensitivity, and to walk humbly with God, humility. Jesus' life was the incarnation of Micah 6:8. Three desperate needs in my life. Maybe in somebody you know. I have to pray about it several times a week. Lord, today, I pray for grace to grow in humility. Not being a doormat. Not being spineless. Not living a life with no convictions. Oh, parenthetically, I'll give you another homily. The three levels of belief, opinions, convictions, and doctrine. Opinions are a dime a dozen. Fluid, they change often. And we don't impose our opinions on other people. Convictions are fewer and stronger, generally well thought through. Some people are vegetarians. Some people eat meat. Some people worship God on Saturday, some on Sunday. So on. But we don't impose our convictions on other people. Doctrine is that little body of truth, the Apostles' Creed or something like that, that you die for. So whenever you're having a discussion with somebody, if you disagree, just say, wait, what are we talking about? An opinion? a conviction or a doctrine. Most churches don't split over doctrine. They split over opinions or convictions. It's not worth it. We love one another. We serve one another. Do we all have the same doctrine? Probably not. It's all right. Do we all have the same convictions? No. Same opinions? No. That's good. If we did, one of us isn't necessary. Humility is the evidence of a person's value of God, integrity of himself or herself, sensitivity of others. That was where Jesus began and where he died.